The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Physiologist and a sport nutritionist right. at Liverpool John Moores University.
So they can't escape from it, can they?
No, I'm always on the case. And yeah. You wouldn't think the two things are conducive with rock and roll, would you? You'd think it's all about getting drunk and rocking and rolling. And you know, you've seen Spinal Tap.
Some of the best ones look fit though, don't they?
Yeah.
Bowie looked fit and his Sam Jagger looked
Jagger?
Fit. Doesn't he?
Roger Daltrey.
Yeah, some of the top boys. Who am I thinking of? Freddie Mercury. He looks fit.
Well, the thing is, it's a very physical job, isn't it? When you think about it. I actually done a tribute to The Who at the O2, believe it or not, Steve, and that's why I grew the hair like Roger Daltrey. And it was rammed, and it was like a 2-hour show, but it was like a proper workout.
What, you singing Who songs?
Yeah, me doing the Daltrey, swinging the mic and doing all that. We had a band called The Maximum Moon.
Right.
You know, that's something else you've missed, you see, you were there. But anyway, that was very physical, but going back to the guys, I mean, and obviously my other side of my life, my professional side of my life, if you want to call it, I do actually give them a lot of advice on health, diet, nutrition, you know, obviously. And the guys buy into it. I mean, you know, you've seen them all. They're like racing snakes, aren't they? They're like racing greyhounds, aren't they? They're all really, really lean.
Absolutely.
Which again goes well with the rock and roll image, doesn't it?
I think you've got to keep it that way. Keep your mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep going. Right, we're into February.
Yeah.
So, new year. Months flown by quickly.
Yeah.
Dry January. You don't drink anyway, do you?
Not really. And I did actually have a dry January.
Did
well.
You?
Yeah,
do you know a lot of people who do that now?
Yeah, I think I've never heard so many people tell me that. That's it. I'm not drinking the whole of January. I don't know how many stuck to it. But, I mean, you must have heard the same. Everyone was like, that's it. I'm not drinking during January. And good. I mean, alcohol's, you know, in, like anything, you know,
In moderation.
Fine, now and again, you know, and there's actually some research to suggest that the odd glass of red wine with all the flavonoids is quite good for your heart.
Is that true?
The jury's out, really. Depends how much wine you have.
It would have to be the odd glass, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the properties of alcohol generally are not that good because it's pretty much useless energy and it ends up getting converted to fat. It doesn't do much for you. It's also a diuretic, so you lose all your goodness. At the time, you feel great, but when you wake up in the morning, as most of us will know, you think, oh, why did I do that?
It's always the way, isn't it? I'm not a massive drinker.
No.
I might touch it maybe once in the week.
Yeah.
I always think the morning after.
Everyone does, don't they?
What was that for?
Well, you think about it. I mean, the reason you go to the toilet a lot is because obviously it's your body wants to get rid of it.
Mm.
So the turnover is quite quick. So that's why you're going to wee all the time and that. And obviously you're losing lots of goodness as well. Mm. So, you know, you wake up in the morning and all the cells in your body have all been dehydrated. You've lost all your sodium, potassium, magnesium, chloride. And that's why when you see a cold pizza, you want to just attack it because it just, get me that salt, get me back in my system.
Is that what it's about?
That's exactly what it's about.
Is that why when
I
save a quarter of my curry, I always have a paneer curry,
yeah,
and I always save a quarter of it, and I have it on toast the morning after.
There you go.
Is that because I'm craving the salt?
Yeah, you're craving mostly electrolytes, really, because you generally are dehydrated. And when you're dehydrated, obviously you've lost all your key sorts of micronutrients like your electrolytes. So, I mean, you know, it's full of sugar and it's full of salt, even though it's all man-made. And your body just says, come on, let's just get this back in. That's how you feel better.
Yeah, I always love it, actually, the morning after. February is really the fitness fad. Time, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
This is when everyone's going crazy for it, isn't it?
You see all the adverts.
Come on, George, what are the recommendations?
Well, I always tell you the same thing, isn't it? Most things in moderation are okay. And everyone's like, oh, we hear this all the time. But if you think about it, Steve, every diet works. Every single diet works because diets tend to deprive you of things, and they tend to deprive you of things. They sort of, the one thing that they've all got in common, they tend to deprive you of things which are not that good for you. So it tends to cut out sort of processed foods that are high in sugar and salt, and foods that are sort of very convenient foods. And lots of people get mixed up with the size of portions and the actual energy density of food. So, for instance, you have a 3-egg omelet in the morning with some peppers and all the salads, and it'll probably have the same amount of calories as, in fact, less calories than sort of maybe a small bar of chocolate. But the difference is because you've had that 3-egg omelet with all your salads and peppers, it contains a lot of fibre. So it stays in your system longer, so you digest it slower. Unlike the bar of chocolate, which is just very easily processed, your blood sugar goes up very high, drops very low quickly, and you feel hungry again. And it's just converted to fat, really.
What are you saying? Eat chocolate?
No, I'm saying don't eat chocolate. I'm saying have the alternative. But the other thing is, if you just see people going into, you know, like into coffee shops and you think, well, I'll just have a muffin and I'll have a latte. I mean, that's like a third of your daily calories.
I've just had
away.
A croissant.
Well, exactly.
I just had a Greg's croissant.
But
it was
for
fantastic.
For the same thing, you could have probably had a three-egg omelette with it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much.
But it would have stayed in your system longer. That's the point I'm trying to make. That,
right.
You know, it
would have fueled me longer.
Yeah, it would have fueled you longer. And I'm always telling you to have porridge, aren't I? Because porridges are
but
so...
But I do now. Yeah, and I haven't seen you for a while, but ever since you put the porridge thing in my head...
You actually look really well.
Yeah. I don't know whether that's the porridge.
Have you been running down the stairs, like I said?
I've been doing a lot.
Have you? Yeah. You actually look lean. You've got cheekbones and everything.
Well, I'll let you into a little secret about that. So I got told about a month ago that I had high cholesterol.
Right,
madly.
Cool. Yeah.
So they're laughing at me through the window here.
This is like a well-man health check.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I got the call. You got high cholesterol.
Cool.
So all of a sudden I thought, oh, no, I've got to do something about this. So producer Christian, he doesn't eat anything anyway.
He's like a racist steak.
Worse than that, isn't he? So he always has black coffee, wife. He said, right, so I'm going to cut out the dairy. Yeah. So
and you
skimmed
have
milk, black coffees, no cheese.
So you have actually body mass.
It's amazing. No, if you cut the dairy out.
Yeah, it does actually. Yeah,
comes off you,
I mean, I don't really drink milk and that, and you do find that. If you think about it, if you have like 6 cups of coffee a day, and within that you have like, I don't know, 100 ml of milk, you think about how much energy is in all that milk, you know. I mean, before you know it, you've had a pint and a half of milk in your coffees.
Without even realising.
Yeah. And it's all about those hidden calories. I'm not saying don't have milk in your diet completely. I'm just saying, if you've got to think about what you're eating and what your intake is and about the energy density of the foods that you eat, you know.
Right, if you're just tuning in now, we're talking health, wellbeing and all sorts with George Wilson, who's an exercise physiologist. Just on that high cholesterol thing, because I was a little bit blown away at the time because I thought, I'm dead fit.
Yeah,
I thought I'm dead fit. I haven't eaten meat for 30 years, so I'm quite healthy in terms of what I eat, but I could still have high cholesterol. Is it a hereditary thing?
It can be, and also when you think about it, you need to, they break the cholesterol down into different sorts of categories. Mm. So there's a thing called LDL, which is the bad stuff, which is low-density lipoproteins.
Yeah, I've got lots of that.
Yeah, that's the stuff you don't want. What you want is HDL, which is a high-density lipoprotein.
Right. How do I get some of that,
Well,
George?
Get some like healthy oils and omega oils and stuff like that in your diet. But you're right. It is, you know, medically, and again, I'm not a medical doctor in the sense of more sports medicine doctor. But from that, at the end of the day, you know, if you're having lots of trans fats and lots of poor fats in your diet, as opposed to healthy fish oils and that, because what happens is HDL, the good stuff, breaks the bad stuff down. So if you have a lot of omega oils in your diet and oily fish in your diet, it tends to be that you have higher levels of HDL.
Oh, so it breaks the fatty deposits.
Yeah,
it breaks the
low-density lipoprotein down, and then that converts with bile and things like that, and you get rid of it. So if you are going to eat, you do need to eat fat.
Right.
And again, even, you know, everyone's saying you can't have saturated fats. Well, again, there's more research now. As you know, Steve, every week something will come out and say, oh, don't eat this because it's bad for you. Well, we were told for years this is good for you. But, you know, you do, again, it's in moderation. So some saturated fat won't be the end of the world. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you do tend to have a better type of fat, i.e. Fish oils and omega-3s, and you can buy omega-3 eggs, can't you, that the hens were fed with these seeds, which are really, really good for them. So, yeah, I mean, it's just thinking about it.
Well, the huge craze now is veganism, isn't it?
Yeah.
It seems like everyone's, well, not everyone, but a lot of people are heading in that direction. What's made that shift, do you think?
I think it's gone back to the idea of where we've come from, so evolution. So if you go back, you've heard of things like the caveman diet, and it's all about going back to, which is, you know, hunt and gather, find your seeds, find your pulses, find flowers and things that you eat. And people tend to be very, very lean because at the end of the day, you're not eating processed food. Processed food, going back to what I said earlier, is full of salt and sugar. It's very energy dense. You just get that fast fix, but it then also converts very quickly to fat because there's so much energy in your body. Now, whereas if you go hunting and gathering and pick up your flowers and your seeds and your nuts and pulses, they tend to be full of fibre, they're slower release, and it tends to feed you for longer, and also you tend to be a lot leaner because you're just not storing it as fat, because you're actually using it as for energy, you know. So that's where it's come from. Mm. And again, lots of people made lots of money out of these things. You know, write a book on the caveman diet. And I'm amazed by these things when you see you fast for 2 days. And I always say this, well, look, if a caveman had the intelligence to think I'll store my food before he realised and recognised, he wouldn't have fasted for 2 days. He fasted for 2 days because he couldn't find anything to eat. So that would be alien to your sort of metabolism. Yeah. You do need to eat. But also, Steve, protein in the body, you know, it has peaks and troughs. It breaks down and resynthesises throughout the day. So you need to make sure that there's fuel available, and particularly protein, the amino acids available to help that tissue repairing of that tissue. So about every 3 hours, you should be eating, really, and you should have some protein in your diet.
I know a couple of people who are on the so-called fasting diets. Mm. So they won't eat between the hours of 4 PM yeah. and 9 AM.
Yeah. Okay.
And then from 9 till 4, yeah, they can have something.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, remarkable how much weight loss.
Yeah.
But also by their different accounts, and they are different people, not connected to each other, they both say it makes them feel mentally sharper.
Yeah, okay.
What's that about?
Well, I think the thing is, generally, it's about energy intake and energy expenditure. So if you're not eating between the hours of 4 and until you get up the following day, chances are that you've had your calories early in the day, you're probably in what's called energy deficit, so you've probably not took enough calories, and that's kept you alive for that day. You've done some exercise, so therefore there's a big of energy expenditure.
So is your body eating itself?
Your body's got to find it from somewhere. So to make up the deficit, you're actually going to use fat, which is stored. That's how you lose body fat. Mm. It's about energy balance. If you take more energy in, you put weight on. And that's generally throughout the day. So the idea that you just have to stop after 4 o'clock, I mean, I'm not buying into for myself, and I wouldn't profess.
But you've heard that diet.
Yeah. Again, I'll go back to what I say. All diets work because they tend to deprive you of things.
Yeah.
If you go back to what the sort of how we have evolved and what our body expects, it expects food every couple of hours. So smaller portions to feed you throughout the day for the normal physiological mechanisms that I described, i.e. breakdown of protein, resynthesis of protein. And, you know, if you go to bed and you have a cup of warm milk before you go to bed, nice crazy case in protein, it's not the end of the world. And, you know, you're not going to be putting weight on if throughout the day you haven't gorged yourself on lots of energy-dense food. So it's all about being sensible.
Cup of warm milk?
Is
that what you have?
Yeah, I would do, yeah, because case in protein, which is a slower release protein, and it feeds you when you're asleep.
I always remember when I first met you, you said you should always eat every three hours.
Yeah.
It's always stuck with me, that.
I'm only going off what the research...
But don't eat too much.
No, exactly.
The problem is, it's restricting how much you're going to eat every three hours.
It goes back to the energy density of food.
Yeah.
So don't get size confused with how much is in it. So you see a Mars bar, there's other chocolate out there, obviously, folks. But you see a bar of chocolate and you look at it and go, I'll just have that and that'll do me for the day. You know, I mean, soon you're going to be hungry and end up, well, I'll have another Mars bar and things like that. So before you know it, you've had your calories and you've only had three things to eat.
Well, answer me this on your mighty porridge, because I followed your porridge rule as well. But some porridges have a lot of sugar in.
Yeah, they
don't
do,
they?
Yeah.
And is that the one, do you need to be avoiding the wrong porridges?
Yeah, because it's to satiate your, you know, appetite. So they put sugar and salt in to think, you know, because if you just look at normal oats and then you boil normal oats up, and you know, it swells and you have a bowl of porridge. It's actually not the most tastiest meal in the world. We put a bit of salt in, we add sugar and we add milk for taste. If you just eat oats on its own, like gruel, it doesn't sound the best, does it? So therefore, obviously...
George, what's your porridge? Where do you get your porridge from?
What's the most popular brand of porridge?
Do you? One's all right, isn't it?
That one's
sweet, though, isn't it?
Well, I do check to see that there's no added sugar. Or you go and buy oats themselves. You know, go and get ground oats from the farmer and just make it yourself.
Off the land. I was going to talk to you about your athletes, because, of course, you are involved with a lot of athletes.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're only a couple of months away from Cheltenham and Aintree and all that.
Got all the jockeys coming in.
So maybe next time when you come in.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that. We'll come and dig through that a little bit.
You'll be asking for tips, won't you?
Thanks. Hey, you'll be asking how my diet's going.
You're looking well, mate, honestly.
It's not a diet. It's not a diet. It's just
a lifestyle.
It's a change in direction.
Exactly.
George Wilson. Exercise physiologist. You always make me laugh. That hair's got a bit crazy, George.
I have to wear a hat because I get mobbed.
Get it?
People
get
think it's George Adolphe.
Rock, sport, and talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.